Have you ever cried out, "Help"? I remember reading about some gentlemen arguing about the proper posture for prayer. They were debating, should you just close your eyes and bow your head? Should you kneel on the floor? Should you lay prostrate on the ground, flat out before God in prayer? And the debate continued, but then one of them spoke up and said, "Listen, I don't know about the correct posture of prayer, but one of the most fervent prayers I ever prayed was when I was hanging upside down in a well." Perhaps you've been in that type of situation where you had to cry out, "Help." Or perhaps it's a cry that hasn't been heard by others, but it's from a difficult circumstance. But you need help. It's thrilling to me to read in Scripture these words, that there is help in weakness. There's help in our weakness. And let me give you some background on some of the words that are used in this passage. Weakness, or infirmity, or weaknesses, as it's translated in various translations, is a compound term signifying without strength. There are times when we recognize we're without strength. We're unable to handle a certain situation that we're facing. We're unable to do what needs to be done to satisfy that need that we have at that moment. It suggests a common infirmity that is shared by all Christians, but it suggests an inability to produce a desired result. But when we see this term weakness, I want us to remember and reflect upon those times that we do acknowledge that there are burdens that we have in our lives that we simply cannot bear alone. But notice the beauty of this, that the Scriptures teach us there is help in our weakness. And that word "help" is a beautiful word. It's in the present tense form as it's used in this passage, and it suggests sustained activity. There is ongoing help for you in your time of weakness, in that time in your life when you're without strength and unable to satisfy the need in your life at that time. There is ongoing help. And that word "help" pictures two people sharing a load. It's used only one other time in Scripture, and that's in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40. And we read in that passage, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." Jesus was a guest in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Martha is concerned about everything being just right for their honored guest. And Mary's just sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to Him. And Martha's frustrated. "Can't you tell her to help me, to share this load?" And I like to picture a piece of furniture that perhaps needs to be moved and is too heavy for Martha to move it by herself. And so what she's asking for Jesus to do, "Please tell Mary to pick up the other end of this piece of furniture that I can't carry by myself. Tell her to help me." A.T. Robertson says about this word "help," it states the idea that one lays hold of our weakness along with us and carries part of our burden, as if two men were carrying a log, one on each end. I don't think we'll have to think very long to think about times, occasions in our lives when we had that log, we had that piece of furniture, we had that difficulty that it needed to be moved, especially moved out of our lives, but we were powerless to do so. And we needed someone to come alongside to help us bear that burden because we were too weak to bear it. Guy in Woods makes this observation about this word that's used. He says the word suggests to happen just in the nick of time for our assistance. He then says how comforting it is when exhausted and weary from heavy burdens to have a friend or brother come along and lend a willing hand until the task is done. Such is the picture presented us in this verb. In our times of weakness, when we're without strength, help is not only available, it's an ongoing help. But the question is, who can help us in our weakness? I want to offer two answers to that question. First one is this: we can implore God's help for one another through prayers of intercession. Intercession is the key word this morning. And I hope that we'll gain an even greater appreciation for intercession. We can intercede on one another's behalf before God in prayer. 1 Timothy 2, begin verse 1. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior. So first of all, of primary importance, let supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For all men, but that would include one another. Pray prayers of intercession, Paul is teaching. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Again, there's the idea of burdens that are difficult for us to bear alone. We need someone to take the other end of that burden to help us carry it. And fulfilling the law of Christ, the law of love, we're to seek to help one another bear those burdens. Sometimes just by being present, we can help others bear their burdens. Just knowing that we're there with them and present with them can and does bring so much comfort and help. There are other times when we can actually participate in some way in helping bear another's burdens. To actually, and perhaps even sometimes physically, lift up the other end of that burden and help them carry it. But there are times when our presence and our participation is inadequate or they're impossible. But it's then we can best help bear another's burden with our prayers of intercession. Supplications, prayers, and intercessions. What does it mean, intercessions? How do we pray that way? A question was asked to a Sunday school class of children. What is meant by intercession? And this one child had a brilliant answer when he spoke up and said, it's speaking a word to God for us. And that's exactly what it means. Speaking a word to God for us. We may intercede for one another by speaking a word to God for one another. God, help them in their time of trial. Help them in their weakness. Help them with their burden that they're having to bear. It means a pleading with one party on behalf of another, usually with a view to obtaining help for that person. And I know that we do that often. We pray for others. We pray for one another that God will help us when we're bearing those burdens. You see, when we pray prayers of intercession, it means that we're concerned about one another. We're concerned about the struggle that we may be facing at the time. We're praying that through God's providence that He will either make us well or remove some obstacle out of our way or your way, and to help us in whatever way that we may need to be helped. Let me give you a couple of examples of this type of intercessory prayer. Colossians 4 verse 12 is one. Paul, writing to these Christians at Colossae, speaks about another Christian that's very concerned about them. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, slave of Christ, greets you. Notice, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Always laboring fervently for you. How? Or through what means? In prayer. He is always wrestling in prayer for you. Another version states it. And the word that's used there is the word from which we get our word agonize. Epaphras agonizes with you in prayer. He labors fervently. He wrestles with you in prayer. And it refers to a struggle, to contend with an adversary, to endeavor to accomplish something. And the idea is not that they're wrestling with God, but they're wrestling with this person in their struggle and seeking and laboring fervently in their prayers, imploring God to help. And it speaks of Epaphras' concern for these fellow Christians of his in Colossae. But it also speaks to what intercessory prayer is all about. That when we know someone that's going through a difficult time, that we agonize with them in prayer. That we feel their burden in our souls. We're praying fervently from the depths of our heart that God will help them. Romans 15:30 is another example. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now I beg you, or I urge you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." Strive together. And that's that same word that we read, in Colossians 4 and verse 2. It's that agonize. You agonize. And the only difference in this word that's used here in Romans 15:30 is that it contains that root with. That you labor fervently, that you struggle with me. And he's asking these Christians, join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. He goes on to say, pray that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. Pray that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. And he says, pray that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Agonize in prayer with me. And what he's asking for are these prayers of intercession. Speak a word to God for me. I know that you join me in saying that when you're going through a struggle, one of the most helpful things that can be done by your brothers and sisters in Christ is praying for you. And also letting each other know, I'm praying for you. I'm agonizing with you in prayer. I'm praying with you that God will help you get through this struggle. Who can help us in our weakness? We can help one another through prayers of intercession. But secondly, notice this wonderful thing that intercessions are being made on our behalf continually before God by Christ. You see, you follow that word intercession and you see that it's used to describe the work of Christ. After he died, after he was buried, after he rose again, after he ascended up into heaven, what he continues to do is intercede for us. Hebrews 9:24 says, Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's in the presence of God the Father for us. Well, what is he doing? Notice these two passages. One is what Brother Troy read for us earlier, Hebrews 7, verse 23. There were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing under the old law. And in that dispensation, there were many priests, one after the other. Why? Because a priest lived and died. And so another one had to take his place. There were many priests because one could not continue to live to continue the work of the priest. But in contrast, verse 24, but he, Christ, because he continues forever, because he abides, because he lives forever, has an unchangeable and unending, a permanent priesthood. He's alive and will be forevermore. Therefore, we don't need another priest, because he is our high priest forever. Well, what does that mean to you and me today in our weakness? Verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save completely those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He lives. I thought about the song that we sing. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He lives. He lives. But he lives for this purpose: to make intercession for us, to speak a word to God for us, that we may find grace and mercy to help us in time of need. The other passage is Romans chapter 8. The 8th chapter of Romans, one that's filled with encouragement for Christians today. It's in that chapter we're told we're the children of God and joint heirs with Christ. We're told that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, verse 28. We're told that nothing in this world or the next can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 8, 35 through 39. We're told we have the victory through Christ, that we're more than conquerors through him who loved us, Romans 8, 37. But sandwiched among all those blessings of the child of God are these words, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now notice these questions that he asks. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who is he who brings a charge against God's elect? It's not God. It's God who justifies. It's Satan who brings the charge against the elect. It's Satan who's the accuser who tries to keep bringing up our sins, even those sins that are covered by the blood of Jesus. Satan's the accuser. It is God who justifies in and through his Son. Who is he who condemns? It's not Christ. He's the one that died for us, for our sins, so that we might have forgiveness. He's the one that rose from the dead, defeating Satan. He's the one that's living now. And again, notice what Paul says. He lives to make intercession for us. He continues to intercede at the throne of grace for the child of God. When we're weak, when we're without strength, we have help, an abiding, constant help through the prayers of one another, prayers of intercession, yes, but through Jesus at the very throne of God interceding for us. Therefore, there is no struggle that we endure that the merciful God of grace does not understand. Why? Because Jesus intercedes for us. There is no pain of any type that we endure that the merciful God of grace does not understand. Why? Because Jesus intercedes for us. There's no injustice to which we are subjected that the merciful God of grace does not understand. Why? Because Jesus intercedes for us. There's no human weakness that attacks us what the merciful God of grace does not understand. Why? Jesus intercedes for us. There's no failure that the merciful God of grace does not understand. Why? Jesus intercedes for us. There's our help. There's our help in weakness. Jesus intercedes for us. Because he intercedes for us, our mistakes and our failures, our weaknesses do not have to alienate us from God. Because Jesus intercedes for us, we live and we struggle with hope. With hope. Because Jesus intercedes for us. A similar picture is presented in 1 John 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I write these things to you so that you do not sin. But if you do, and we will, we have an advocate. The word advocate designates a consulting lawyer or one who presents his client's case in an open court. It also refers to one who in times of trial or hardship sympathizes with the afflicted and administers suitable direction and support. We have an advocate. It's Jesus Christ the righteous who intercedes for us. Satan is that prosecuting attorney who brings up those sins before God. But Jesus is that defense attorney who helps, defends, counsels, comforts, pleads the Christian's case, and by his blood keeps us clean. We have an advocate. Scholar William Barclay says of Jesus, he's not at God's right hand to be our prosecuting counsel, but to be the advocate to plead our cause. There's our help in weakness. Because our weakness speaks of our inability to help ourselves when the burdens are heavy, especially when it comes to the burden of our sin. We're powerless to save ourselves. But that's why Jesus went to the cross, to pay the price for our sins, so that we might be saved. And even now, he continues to intercede on our behalf, making possible the continual washing of sins available to Christians who keep on striving to please the Lord and are putting their trust in him for their salvation. There's our help. Will we seek his help? Or will we try to bear the burden alone? If you need to come to Christ this morning, if you need to come to obey the gospel, confessing your faith in Jesus, turning from sin and repentance, confessing his name before men and being baptized into Christ so that his blood can wash away your sins, we hope and pray that you'll do so this morning. If you need prayers of intercession on your behalf, as a Christian who's struggling, who has a heavy burden that needs help bearing it, let us pray with you and for you. And won't you come right now as we stand and sing?